In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we had readings that are for the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. And I bring this up because these two readings were specifically assigned to be read together. You know, sometimes we have an epistle reading or a gospel reading that is meant for a certain feast day or a certain saint. And it doesn't necessarily was not meant to go along with the gospel. But today we have readings that were meant to go together. And even though perhaps on the face of it, they don't seem to us like they are related. But I hope to describe to you and explain to you today how these two readings are related. And we'll begin with this miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 from Matthew's gospel. And we hear about Jesus taking these five loaves and the two fish and feeding 5,000 men plus the women and children. So it was actually more than 5,000 that he fed. And Matthew recounts this miracle for us, and he's very specific about the number of loaves and the fish that were used for a reason. As you're aware, in the Bible, there is often symbolism that is more important than just the face of the story. And this is true today in this story of the feeding of the 5,000. Specifically, there is great significance in the fact that Matthew recounts for us that Jesus used bread, the loaves, and fish. Why is that? Well, the fish is the earliest symbol of Christianity. You know, we tend to think of the cross, of course, today. It's become the main symbol of our identity as Christians. But think about it in the early times, you know, right after Jesus was crucified. I often tell people, you know, think about, would you wear an electric chair around your neck as a necklace? You know, nobody would do that, right? It seems like a crazy thing to do. That's essentially what the cross was at the time that Jesus was crucified. It was a weapon used by the state to put to death someone who had done something so bad that they needed to be put to death, they needed to be shamed and humiliated. And so it would have been very odd for Christians to use the cross as a symbol, but over time, of course, it has become a symbol for us. Because we recognize the significance of Jesus being put to shame and humiliated for our sakes. But in the early church, it was the fish that was the symbol of Christianity. And part of the reason for that as well is because you have this acronym, ichthus. The word fish in Greek, ichthus, it's five letters. And it was used by Christians as an acronym. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. The beginning of each of those is the letter in ichthus. Jesus Christ, Son of God, or God's Son, Savior. So this is why the fish was used to speak about Christianity or as the symbol of Christianity. In addition to that, we hear that Jesus made his disciples what? Fishers of men. And so fish was a symbol not only of Christianity, but of people who followed after Jesus. And the bread, we know from Scripture, has a double meaning as well. We see this first and foremost in the Old Testament when the Hebrew people are out wandering in the wilderness before they are to receive God's law, and they are to be sustained by God's law, but they complain that they don't have enough to eat, so God gives them what? He gives them bread. He gives them the manna that comes down from heaven. And thus begins this double meaning in Scripture of bread, also meaning to be the teaching of God, or to be fed by God is not just to be fed physical food that we would eat at the table, but to be fed by His law, to be fed by His word. And so we see Jesus at His temptation, when the devil is tempting Him and trying to get Him to turn away. And Jesus has been fasting this great period of time, and the devil offers Him bread. And what does Jesus say? He says, no, He's fed by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then Jesus tells His disciples, they're confused at first. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And his disciples said, What's wrong with their bread? Why can't we eat their bread? And Jesus says, no, you don't get it. I'm talking about their teaching. So the bread is the teaching. We see then from understanding this symbolism, what Jesus is conveying to us today through this miracle, which was not just to feed 5,000 people and to tell a nice story about it, but to tell a story to us as well. He takes this teaching, the five loaves, and it was known to the Jews, the number five was a significant number. Why? Because the five books of Moses, the very basis of the Old Testament. And we heard just a few weeks ago, remember, that Jesus said he didn't come to abolish the law and the prophets, he came to fulfill them. He came to teach them correctly, the way that we should understand them, because people were not understanding them correctly. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, what have you, were not understanding the scriptures correctly. And so Jesus teaches us correctly. And so these five loaves symbolize Jesus feeding the people not only with the bread, the physical bread, but with the food of God. Every word, as he said at his temptation, that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is why he feeds them the five loaves. The two fish, again, as I mentioned, the fish are symbolic of Christianity, of Christian disciples. He has two kinds of fish. Remember how he said to us in John's Gospel that there were other people of his fold besides the Jews. There are the Jews and the Gentiles, the two type of fish. And so Jesus brings them together, the Jews and the Gentiles, under the one scriptural teaching. And he brings them together as we saw. We heard the disciples say, it's a lonely place. Sometimes you will hear this translated, it's a deserted place. Why is that? Well, because it was literally the desert. If you don't believe me, go there yourself. Maybe not now when there's a war going on, but go there yourself and see if you can find any grass in the area where Jesus was with his disciples. I went there, I didn't see any. But we hear that when Jesus did this miracle, when he brought to them this teaching of the scriptures, and he brought the two together, the Jews and the Gentiles together, what happened to this desert? There was grass, there was life. And so we hear today in this teaching from St. Matthew, or the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus brings us together, Jew and Gentile. All of us, in other words, whatever we may be, whatever ethnicity, whatever background we have, whatever our tribe, tongue, he brings us together under the teaching, the authentic and correct teaching of the Holy Scriptures that first began with the five books of Moses. And so then we have today's epistle reading. Why do I say that these two, again, they're connected. They were meant to be read together in the church readings, in the church calendar. Because we, as human beings, as people who have sinned, have separated from each other. We have not just stuck with Jesus' teaching and bringing us together under the scriptural teaching, but we separate ourselves into different tribes. And it's because of our human sin that at the very beginning, the problem existed obviously in the early church. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, a church he founded. Some say that you're of Paul. Some say you're of Gaius. Some say you're of Christ. No, you are all to be one. The fact that we have Orthodox and Catholic and Protestants and all these different denominations is because of our sin and our human weakness. What God desires and what Jesus desired was to bring us all together as one community under the Holy Scriptures. And that's why I remind you, brothers and sisters, that when we in the Orthodox consecrate a bishop, the bishop is placed underneath the book of the Holy Gospels. He is beneath the Scripture. There is no one and no thing that can be above the Holy Scriptures. In the Orthodox tradition, we symbolize that again at the consecration of the greatest leaders in our church, the earthly leaders of our church, the bishops. And so, brothers and sisters, we are reminded that we are not to be out there searching the internet to find, you know, who is our Father? Who am I following? Am I following this priest or that priest? We're not to be tribal about our churches. Oh, I go to St. Mary, I don't go to St. George. No, that's not the way that we are. We are to be one people under the one Scripture. And yes, we have different communities out of practical reasons, but we are all called to be one community under the one God who gives us the one book of Scriptures. So, brothers and sisters, let us always remember, even as we can be sometimes proud of being Orthodox, proud of our faith, let us remember that Christ has called us to humility. Christ has called us to be of one community, and that community is the people of God who follow after His teaching. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship, together with His Father and Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Amen.